This is a podcast of the National Institute of Corrections virtual conference. Please join us November 9th, 2016 for our third annual conference titled Leading with Innovation, where you will receive a full day of presentations, innovative chats, and networking, all brought to you by NIC. Visit us at www.nicic.gov/go/VC2016 to register. And now, here's a sneak peek.
I want to begin by reading the summary that I have here of your presentation. So this workshop, based on discharge planning, will inform employees of correctional settings and surrounding community partners about the importance of preventing recidivism by networking and coordinating care with one another. Research shows that continuums of care between such networks can reduce risks of homelessness, illicit drug use, and recidivism, all while improving mental health status. Providing such services to assist individuals tangled in the criminal justice system can promote success upon release from incarceration. This presentation will introduce the concept of a successful discharge planning program that breaks connections between an inmate and the jail while establishing connections between the person and the community to reduce recidivist outcomes. I think the best way to begin this interview is actually for you to begin talking about your backgrounds. So we'll just alternate. Let's first start with Mane, and then we'll go on to Kayla. So Mane, can you begin, please, by telling us about your background and how you became involved in this project?
Yes, sure. So I started my employment with Louisville Metro Corrections in 2003. So this December will mark my 13th year with corrections. I started in different civilian positions, working in records, classification, identification lab. And in 2013, I graduated from University of Louisville with my master's in social work. And a year after that, our social worker decided to move on from the position in jail, so it became available, and I applied and got promoted to the position. So since 2015, March, I have been the senior social worker of Metro Corrections. Historically, we've been running reentry programs in jail, so having a dorm of 30 men for getting ready to get released, so the social worker would do life skills with them, kind of job search, maybe resume building, things like that to prepare them to get released from jail. However, when I got into this position, our director, Mark Bolton, had just visited Chicago Cook County Jail, and he had seen the discharge planning that they were doing in their jail, which is a pretty big, way bigger than our jail, of course. So when he returned from Chicago, he decided that we would need a discharge planning as well, because we have our familiar faces we used to call in frequent flyers, so coming in and out. So since then, I became the discharge planner of Metro Corrections.
So what exactly do you do as the discharge planner?
So with Director Bolton, we started the Familiar Faces Action and Community Transition Program last year, and it kind of went into full effect in June and July of 2015. What we do is we take referrals from everywhere, from inmates, from their caseworkers, from the court system, judges, the public defenders, prosecutors, and those are inmates who have their basic needs, who have the basic needs that have not been met, and we help them find a shelter bed or treatment bed in the community. We help them with clothing, seasonally appropriate clothing, because we started a clothing bank. We help transport them straight from jail as a warm handoff to the community bed that we find for them. We released them with close to 30-day supply of their medication. If they don't have an ID, we help them get their state ID. So we pretty much have all this networking and communicating with the community agencies and telling them what's going on in jail and what we need their help with. And majority of those agencies have been pretty helpful. So because of that networking and communication, we've been able to establish our FACT program to be pretty successful up to this date.
All right. And Kayla, can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you became involved?
I jumped on board with Corrections here in Louisville in February of this year. Prior to that, I worked for about a year and a half in an opioid treatment program as a substance abuse counselor. So my head was already in the game to work with individuals with substance abuse issues. And this job, you know, seemed ideal because I have an undergrad in criminal justice and then the master's in social work. So it just felt right to step in this kind of role and help people that need their basic needs met while being able to get them into treatment or get them clothes, medicine, and such, but still having a little bit of knowledge in the back of my mind of what people are actually going through on a day-to-day basis when they're facing withdrawals or triggers and lack of coping skills and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated with my master's in 2014, so it's all still pretty new to me, too.
Mm-hmm. And what were you doing prior to 2014? I'm sorry, prior to 2016? Were you just in? So you
I was in the medication-assisted treatment program.
Okay.
It's not with Corrections. It's a local private clinic here in Louisville, Kentucky, that provides medicated-assisted treatment with methadone, Suboxone, to heroin and opiate addicts.
Mm-hmm. Is that a chronic problem in Kentucky that you're finding right now?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Kayla and Mane, you're both now working for the Department of Corrections. How do you work together to bring this this Familiar Faces Action Community Transition Program together?
So once Kayla jumped on board, as she said, in February, the idea was that to for the first time ever, we got a second social worker at the jail for two of us to be able to help more people, of course. So when Kayla jumped in to help us out, I trained her in, to be able to take on the FACT program because we had some other programs in mind that we needed to start. So now Kayla is fully engaged with FACT program, and she takes the referrals and does all the work with it. And I have, and we still work hand in hand, but I've moved on and started our PACT program, which stands for Pathway Advocacy and Alliances for Community Treatment, pretty much more with substance abuse and medication-assisted treatment, along with some other grants and funding that we have received for other programs. So we refer people to each other still. We cover for each other in each other's absence, and our work is pretty close to each other. We have the same contacts. We share networking opportunities. We get to meet the same providers. Work very closely.
Okay. And so what you have in a facility where you have more than one social worker, this is actually something that's not the norm. Is that correct? I mean, is it
that's
usually
correct.
Yes. So this is
we have historically only had one senior social worker for the entire corrections, and we normally have close to 2,000 inmates. So for us to have two senior social workers, it's pretty great. Our director, Mark Bolton, is very treatment oriented. Feel like that's the key to get the recidivism down, since we're always overcrowded. So that's what brought us to hiring a second social worker in order to help more people to stay out of jail.
Mm-hmm. And so this FACT program, so for the director to be supportive of bringing on more staff to, you know, help facilitate that program, you must be seeing some good outcomes from this.
Yes, absolutely. Last time when we ran our numbers, a few months ago. However, we had 64% success rate, meaning that 64% of the individuals that we had helped to get connected in a community had not returned to jail. And those are individuals who we call familiar faces, meaning that they are always in and out, just cycling in and out. So for them to stay away from jail for a long period of time is something very new, and that's the success that we've been looking for.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And so now we're at this point where you have a program, you're finding success. Is this something that you think can be spread throughout your entire state, or is this something that's just in your facility that you have now?
We have it in our facility. However, we have so many requests for us to share what the program is about, because we do like talking about the program and its success everywhere we go. Director Bolton goes to many meetings with other jail directors nationally. So we get a lot of inquiries about the program. So I think not only just statewide, but nationwide, the program is getting a lot of kind of popularity because a lot of the other jails are seeing the same issues, the same familiar faces cycling in and out. And if we don't do anything, the problem is just going to keep growing.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to jump in and say, you know, Kentucky, we've got a lot of smaller towns and smaller counties. So something like this would be really beneficial for them if the resources are available. So what we like to do here in Louisville with our discharge planning program is we can provide the transportation for the inmates upon release to these treatment beds. Well, if they're in smaller counties, you know, they may need to have like a separate officer designated maybe just for transportation, because they would more than likely have to take them out of town, maybe to Louisville or to Lexington, Kentucky, or Elizabethtown, you know, the three bigger cities that we have here. So I think it's important to be able to teach surrounding counties and the state about the success of it. But I think it will also be a challenge because Louisville has a lot of resources, but I'm not sure about, you know, the little rural counties and such.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually a very good point that you make, because a lot of programming that we see in the mid-sized to large jail may not always be applicable to the small jail. And you know, they really struggle sometimes with trying to bring those programs that you see on, you know, nationwide into their smaller community. That's an excellent point. But the solution, or you know, the suggestion that you provided is also a very good one, and hopefully you'll be able to talk a little bit more about that in your presentation, like, you know, how, you know, maybe if there aren't enough resources in one jurisdiction, maybe there can be some, you know, interstate agreements where you're collaborating and sharing resources and things like that. So what other sorts of things can we expect from this presentation?
There will be more kind of numbers and statistics on homelessness, mentally ill inmates who, due to lack of mental institutions, are now coming to jails and prisons and are homeless on the streets. More detailed information on how to connect with local community agencies and make that networking happen, make that kind of agreement happen that they're here for us and we're providing them with referrals, and this is working. So more detail about the program.
Mm-hmm. And will it be something like a blueprint that people can walk away and say, you know, this, I can get started and start talking to my leadership about this right now?
Absolutely, yes, absolutely.
Okay, great.
It's a very basic kind of program, nothing very complicated. So everyone can hear and see how they can adapt it to their own community, how it would work. Maybe some aspects might not work, and some others that didn't work for us might work for them. So I think they can definitely take something away and build on it.
Okay. All right. So Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you would like to add or, you know, tell us about your program or your presentation or anything?
I think I would just add that this is the most rewarding job that Kayla and I have had helping and seeing the kind of the shining eyes of the homeless men and women when you tell them what you can do for them, what the agency can do for them that nobody has done ever before. And just when they see the caring they haven't seen before, that kind of makes our job worthwhile. Even the sometimes the frustrations and everything go away when we have our successful warm handoffs, especially with more complicated cases.
This has been a broadcast of the National Institute of Corrections. The views presented are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the policies or positions of the National Institute of Corrections. We hope you enjoyed this broadcast. To register for the NIC virtual conference, please visit us at www.nicic.gov/go/vc2016.